Good morning, Tennessee. Good morning to anybody out there listening throughout the country, we'll say, because this is the world's fastest 60 minutes of sports, and we are the first responders of sports, the first sports talk show here on the radio here in the morning. And we are live, guys, and I am sitting next to my man, Sedge. Sedge, what is up with you this morning?
Man, I'm sort of, I did pick the Suns. I'm going to try to be quiet most of the show.
Okay, we'll let you be quiet.
Yep. I told you.
Yeah, y'all told me.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, I also said that Golden State would win the series. So okay. I'm just going to shut up, okay?
Yeah, yep, yep, yeah, yeah. Okay, we'll go on next to Victor. Victor, we doing good over there? Yeah.
Man, we're a Laker. That's all it is, baby.
We're Lakers. Gold, bleeding it. Yes, I love it. Yes, I love it. How's it going, Randall, the Encyclopedia of Sports?
Good
How are you this morning?
Good morning, Nashville. Excited, excited. A lot to talk about this morning.
Yeah, we got a lot. We do. We got a lot to talk about. We got the NBA. We got everything. This is sponsored by Nashville Toyota North. Nashville Toyota North, where we are family over there. I will be there in about 2 hours, and we are giving a. I'm doing something special. Yep, I work there. I got to make a living. Yeah. But I am doing a license plate frame giveaway. Anybody that comes over there, asks for the coach and buys a newer used car, I will buy you your license plate frame of choice for your favorite sports team. So that's what I'm going to do for you this morning. But we got a lot to talk about. I've got a special guest coming on with us here in about 15 minutes. His name is Darren Carrington. He's a good friend of mine out there in San Diego, waking up early for us. He has been to the Super Bowl, played for 5 NFL teams, and a veteran of 8 years in the NFL. He'll be joining us just in a little bit. But we're going to talk basketball, and I'm going to start out with, as you said, the Suns and Nuggets. I mean, the bottom line with the Suns and Nuggets series is the Nuggets are far superior.
Absolutely.
It's far superior basketball team, which is disappointing because the Suns started to rebuild their team once they got Devin Booker. Devin Booker. And then they went through the draft and picked Ayton out of Arizona, University of Arizona.
Correct.
Who, you know, I'm a Pac-12 guy. And watching him play in college in Arizona was as dominant as any center I've seen in a very long time. And, you know, then you pick a veteran leadership with Chris Paul, and you think you've got something going, and you do.
You really do.
You're pretty good. Yeah. But to me, this was just a complete just travesty. I understand injuries. I get it. Ayton looked uninterested in playing basketball. Didn't look like he enjoys the game. Okay, he was hurt. Fine, whatever. But the Suns really struggle there. Denver is surprising to me. I didn't watch a lot of Denver Nugget basketball. I mean, think about it. How many of you, would any of you say, hey, tonight, you know, the Denver Nuggets are playing, and I'm going to sit in there and watch them? I mean, not
absolutely
much.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely. I mean, unless you're in Denver, you're in Colorado, or maybe you're just that much of a fanatic that you need a game to watch. But, I mean, most people don't pay attention to them, and all of a sudden they look like the best, and they look like the favorite to win the championship, honestly. And then we saw last night the Lakers just took it to him. I was talking to you, Randall, earlier before the show, that this reminds me of a LeBron James manufactured basketball team.
True. Absolutely.
And it flashes back for me to 2016 when at the trade break, what did they do? Essentially gave up everybody, right, guys?
Yeah.
I mean, they got rid of
Westbrook.
Yep. Yeah.
And I think he was Achilles' heel. Wow.
Yeah, they got rid of Westbrook. The Lakers did. Yeah.
Yes.
And I agree. And I like I'm saying, I think this is LeBron's team.
It is.
Okay. Rob Pelinka does a great job, you know, but it's LeBron's team. He's the one that's built the Lakers to what they are today. Them and Denver are the two hottest teams in the NBA right now and have been for a while. And it'll be interesting to see this series, which starts, I believe, Tuesday night. And by the way, we forgot to say hello to Nick, the producer, in the house, ladies and gentlemen.
Yep.
So, Nick, if you want to check, I think that starts Tuesday, Lakers, Denver, I'm pretty sure.
Tuesday night.
And then, you know, the Heat, the playoff Heat, guys.
Wow.
What are your thoughts on Jimmy Buckets, Jimmy Butler, I did check that.
You.
Nick checked that for me. It is the Lakers in Denver Tuesday night. But the Heat. The Heat just taking it to the Knicks. The Knicks are a player or two away. But
true. That's true. And Bronson can carry him. He's a baller.
He is.
But Julius Randle is a disappointment.
Yeah.
He's definitely a disappointment. I expected more out of him this series, and he disappeared last night.
He did.
If you take away Bronson, this is a blowout.
It is. And, you know, the bottom line is isn't it interesting that some of these bigs and some of these super so-called superstars, disappear and just, you know, you don't see him. Why is that? Why leadership. Is it in the biggest moments?
Scared of leadership. I'm telling you.
Or the stage. It might be the stage. You talked about the stage earlier that when you get to that level, you know, the outstanding players step up.
Magic, and, Bird.
I saw Julius Randle, who was the key for them to advance. He did absolutely nothing yesterday.
Can you say Zion?
I mean, I just.
No.
Zion.
No.
Everybody say
no.
Look at Nick.
How about Kawhi Leonard?
No. Load management.
Man, I'll tell you, it's interesting to me as I watch these games and the Suns being done. And then, you know, we go to the East where we already talked about the Heat and Knicks. And the Heat are there. And the Heat, listen, the coaching of the Heat, Miami Heat, for many, many years now has just been far as superior as there is. And especially when they get to this time of year.
And he's underrated.
He is underrated. He's not talked about. Popovich is talked about a lot, you know, still in San Antonio.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think Popovich has a tendency to want him to be talked about, you know. But that's a whole other conversation for another day. But you go to one of the most interesting games of the year for me, and that was the Boston Philly series has been incredibly interesting. Obviously, you've got the MVP and Joel Embiid.
Right.
You know, you watched the other night. I watched this game. Okay, and now we're going to a game seven. That's tomorrow.
Tomorrow, 3:00.
By the way, I just reminded myself of something when I said tomorrow. We need to make sure we recognize all the moms in the house as Mother's Day is tomorrow. Yes. Come on, man. The coach here, the coach wasn't paying attention. Somebody needed to coach me up on my, and I did it myself. I just reminded myself. So, Mom, happy Mother's Day. I spoke to you yesterday, and of course, I'll call you again tomorrow. But to all moms out there that are listening, and to, you know, make sure we all say we love our moms. Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day, Yvonne Lloyd.
There we go.
There we go.
Because you know what? None of us would be here if it wasn't that we had a mom.
Absolutely correct.
So there we go. So, not to get sidetracked, but going back to the Boston-Philly series, you know, you've got the league MVP. And I was listening to the Dan Patrick show the other day, and they said after this game the next morning that it was that Embiid goes 4 minutes and 15 seconds without even touching the basketball. Okay? Nothing. Zero. Mm-hmm. Nada, okay? And Dan Patrick was, their team there was, and the Danettes were asking, was it the coach, his fault? Was it the other player's fault? Or was it Joel Embiid's fault? Okay? And I'll ask you that before I give you my take on it. Was, when with the MVP, the MVP of the NBA is on your team, Doc Rivers, is it the coach? Is it the other players? Or is it Joel Embiid? What do you say about that? What do you think?
It's the coach.
Okay. I'd say the coach as well.
It's coach.
Okay, so you said why?
You have to feed him the ball. You got to get him the ball.
Yeah.
To get him into the game early.
Scheme.
You're shaking your head, Victor.
No. Scheme of the game. You know who they going to. So I think it was the scheme of the game. I think the defense changed. You know, he too big to put the ball on the floor. He's putting the ball in the
But he's a pretty decent outside shooter.
Man. He is.
He is.
Definitely
so,
is.
I mean.
I think it's the scheme. I think when he's putting the ball on the floor, they got two men on him. I said, I just don't understand that. But
I'm going to have to disagree with you on that one.
I mean.
You're my guy, but I'm going to have to disagree with you on that
too
one.
Too big.
No.
I'll make him. He had to beat me. He's too big to put the ball on the floor. There's no way possible.
I think you feed him. I think you get him down low, get him right around that basket where he's really effective.
Okay. So you're saying it's a coach. Victor, you're saying it's a coach?
Scheme, I think, yeah.
Which scheme comes from the coach?
Yeah.
Okay. Sedge?
I said coach, you got a guy that good and that big, man, like old school.
Yeah.
You got to feed him. And you got to feed him, and you feed him when you don't need to feed him, just to keep him happy. You gotta do it and keep him active. If you're not giving him the ball, I mean –
It opens it up for Harden.
Yes.
He opens it up for everybody else.
Spreads the floor.
Maxie has really stepped up. Yeah. I think once Joe Embiid gets that attention, it frees up everybody else.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, so I'm going to go a completely different route than all three of you.
Why am I not surprised, Coach?
I'm going a totally different route, okay, because players that I've watched, and I've watched, as all of you have, watched a lot of basketball, a lot of NBA, a lot of college, and players that are championship players, don't let that happen. Yeah. The player doesn't let that happen. And what do I mean by that? When Shaquille O'Neal comes out to one of his players and grabs the front of his jersey and says, I am getting the ball. The ball is coming to me. Okay?
Yeah.
I put it on Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid. Listen, we're not talking AAU basketball here. We're not talking youth basketball where players, or even college basketball, where players need to respect and follow what coaches say. And I get that, right? You're talking the NBA, grown men, where you were just named the MVP. You're tied. The game is tied, Joel Embiid. The game is tied. The first time you saw Tatum go down, who was one of 15 at the time, one out of 15. The first time you see him go down and drain a three from that left side, it's Joel Embiid time. Joel Embiid, you are at home. You are at home. You are in front of your home crowd. That team is your team. That team is your team. Who's the leader on that team?
Embiid. Okay. No doubt.
I mean, Embiid and Harden probably. Yeah. But Embiid, you're the guy. Listen, you know, there are things that you can put on the coach. All right, coach, call a timeout, Doc Rivers. Call a timeout, design a play. As you said, Victor, design a play for Joel Embiid to put the rock in his hand and run the play, okay? But that's not what happened. And Joel Embiid, to me, through the years that I've watched him, has always been the same as he is, and that's what we saw on the final 4 minutes of that game.
Okay.
You're going to agree that easily?
No. I'm agreeing with you, Coach, because you're my friend.
No, you don't need to agree with me.
No. It's coaching.
That's Doc Rivers.
Doc Rivers, hey, we're going to feed him the ball. Guys, let's get him. And I've seen him coach where he wanted to feed the hot man the ball. So I think it's coaching. It's strictly coaching, Coach, because there's no way that you can't say I got the MVP. Unstoppable. And you not turn around and say, Hardy, give him the ball. Maxie, give him the ball.
So what if he's off?
We're going to find out if he's off. He's your MVP.
I'm with Coach now. You know, what if he's off? Because
But we'll never know because they didn't feed him the ball.
Harden to fade, too. You know what I'm saying? He's not on. He fade. No. Then we got
but,
Max.
But, Coach, that's everybody.
That's a true fader.
That's everybody.
Harden fades so fast.
I agree. But if you want your guy to get fed the ball, let's go back to the glory days of the Lakers. When they wanted to get started, they fed Kareem.
Yes.
They fed him the ball.
Sure.
And sometimes the sky hook was on, sometimes it wasn't on. Mm-hmm. But they still fed him. The game is still inside, out. Mm-hmm. It's still that way. And the most successful teams, inside, big man, work your way out. Mm-hmm. So you can't tell me that Doc Rivers, who's an excellent coach, who's a great coach,
who I have
respect for.
But is he?
Yes, I think he's one of the best.
Okay.
Now, he doesn't have – does he have a championship?
How many championships is he?
I agree.
Yeah,
I agree, but that don't make him. That doesn't make him a bad coach.
Well, it doesn't make him a bad coach, but in situations like he was in with the Clippers out in L.A. as well, you know, if you guys are saying it's on the coach, which some of it can be, but ultimately, listen to me. The way I see it is, if I'm on the court, and I played a lot of basketball in my day, okay, if I'm on the court. And I know I'm the best player on the court. Who's the best player on the court? Because it hasn't been Tatum.
No.
Okay. It's been Joel Embiid.
Okay. Agreed.
So he's the one that has to do something in the final 4 minutes of that game. He has to take over the game. And again, I say this again. You're at home. You're in a closeout. Okay. And now what's happened is they're in a situation where we can blame it on the coaches. We can blame it on the players. Okay. But ultimately, I think the responsibility, that player better come over there hot and say, hey, you better get me the rock. It's my game. I'm the best player on this court. I'm the best player on both teams. I want the rock. Get it to me, and let me show you how good I am.
And wouldn't the coach scheme to give him the ball?
You don't have to scheme that much to me in the NBA to get Joel Embiid the ball.
I think you get – first of all, he's everywhere. He's everywhere. He's inside. He's outside.
Sure.
So – to me, it makes it easier to scheme to give him the ball.
I know, but college, there's a lot of scheming. I get it. And in the NBA, there is two. I get that. I'm not trying to minimize
right.
the importance of putting a scheme together that works to defeat the team that you're playing. I get that. I've coached long, long time, and I get it. But in the NBA, there's a lot of I'm going to do this, you do this, and let's go.
Right.
I mean, versus the tightness of the scheme that sets, and we're going to run this. In that moment, in that spotlight, he's the best player. He's been named the MVP, which everybody's been wanting him to get, and now he got him, and he didn't show up.
Okay.
Yeah. Period. He didn't show up. He wasn't there. For whatever reason, I mean, it almost seemed like he was hurt. But I go back to saying this about Joel Embiid. For me, I've watched him a lot, and he's just always seemed to me like he's either out of shape, like he doesn't know how to finish. I'm not saying every game, but you watch him, he just seems like that guy that's not just disengaging sometimes. I compare it to Anthony Davis, too.
He could be hurt. Remember,
maybe.
He hurt his knee. And I think the first report was this was a 4-week recovery period, and he comes back. So I mean, he's injured. So that may also affect the scheme.
But nobody's healthy at this time.
Oh, absolutely, nobody's healthy. But I mean, come on, you can't play the game without your knees.
Yeah, you're right. You can't. But everybody is probably feeling that and having to double ice, triple ice their knees and
right. ice. And I'm pretty sure Doc took that in consideration as he did his scheme. Mm-hmm. I mean, of course, you're right. If I have Embiid, I'm going to feed him. I'm going to come down, get him ball, and get out of his way, which is, NBA today. Get out of his way, let him work. But I think you have to factor that in. Yeah. I mean, he had an injury to his knee that they was doubting if he was going to play that game.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, again, I don't know what happened, but that can't happen. I mean, it just can't happen. And you can blame it on the coach. Maybe it's everybody.
They playing in Boston tomorrow?
They're playing in Boston tomorrow. Oh, yeah. Now they won twice in Boston.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not a guarantee.
But they haven't beat the Boston Celtics in a playoff series since 1982.
That's a two-piece guy.
So,
ooh, 82.
Yeah. So, I mean, is that a stigma that's there with Boston, the Sixers rivalry, and that is a good rivalry. But I don't know. What do you think? What, Victor? I mean, can a team come back after? Because here's the thing. You know how a lot of players say, I don't hear the noise. I don't read anything. And maybe you don't read anything, but you hear the noise. I guarantee that the whole team has heard, Victor, that you didn't touch the rock for 4 minutes in the game, the final 4 minutes of the game, and you didn't show up. You know? So can the 76ers come back from that tomorrow?
That's the two-piece and a biscuit, Coach. They done.
And a biscuit. I'm learning all kinds of new things in the South.
Tomorrow, Boston is going to step up. I'm telling you, watch. And then, just like Randall said, it's going to be an excuse why Philadelphia didn't win. And I'm with you.
Yeah.
But I think Boston is going to be on another level tomorrow.
They shot the lights out the other game.
I think
that's my real MVP.
That's a mental. I think that was a mental thing. They lost their game. That's a mental.
Yeah, Coach, that's my real MVP.
Who's that?
Jason Tatum.
Yeah, I mean, up until he started making some threes, he was non-existent as well. I mean, look, to think about the East and the West, right, it's almost like a little comparison to the NFL right now. The NFL, the one conference is – so much more power in the conference for the American League the American Conference is so much more dominant teams than the other side of the coin. And it's in the NBA, the West to me is just more of a dominant group. You got Denver, you got the Lakers, you always have Golden State's going to be around.
Right.
Our Grizzlies, they finished the 2 seed. Made an early exit, I think, because there's issues in the whole program there a bit. But the West is overpowered. I think whoever wins out of the Nuggets, whoever wins between the Nuggets and the Lakers is going to probably win the finals. Would you agree with that or no?
No.
No, you don't? Who do you think?
I'll let you know after Sunday. Because I'm if Boston wins, I think Boston –
wait a second. So hold on. Hey Nick,
put that Nick write it the down, producer. Man.
We're gonna go back. Just hold that thought one second. Say that one more time.
If Boston beats Philly,
uh-oh.
I'm going with Boston.
Okay. All right. At this point, we're going to bring on Darren Carrington because Darren Carrington is a basketball fan as well. And I need some support in here. Darren, you out there out in sunny San Diego early in the morning? It's probably not even sunny. It's still dark, right, Darren?
Yeah, and there's no sun yet.
No sun yet. Uh-oh. But you shining, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So this is the Lead Sports Talk Show. We welcome you, Mr. Darren Carrington, good friend of mine out there in San Diego. And we're going to definitely talk NFL, but I know you're a big basketball fan too. And your daughter plays for the Connecticut Sun right now, so that's got to be a lot of fun. Yeah, by the way, she's getting ready to roll. I saw a picture of her getting ready to roll with the Sun again. Is it her second or third year with the Sun?
Yeah, this is year number three.
Okay. God, that's exciting. After playing at Stanford and then Baylor, and just that's awesome to see. It's got to be a lot of fun for parents too, I'm sure, huh?
Oh yeah, you know, when you see your kid's dream come true and it all come together, and then you see them just having fun. It's a real good thing. I love to see it. I'm a big fan. I'm not a coach. I'm just a crazy fan.
Oh boy! Now, be honest. Now I know you've coached too, but are you? And so is your wife as well, right? Now, be honest. Being the fan, are you the annoying fan in the stands? The dad up there that's screaming and yelling. Are you that guy?
I don't think I am.
He's the guy.
Yeah. Anytime you have to think about it for a second, well, I don't think so. Hey, so Darren, we get your input here because we're finishing up talking about the NBA, and then we're going to get to your career, and we're going to talk about your career a little bit, and also we're going to talk about what you're doing now to help people and families, and just real quick, I met Darren at the Rock Church. And out there in San Diego, very, very awesome church led by Miles McPherson, who also played in the NFL. And just an awesome church. And so if you're out there in that San Diego area, anytime, if you go on vacation from here in Nashville out there and you're there on a Sunday, make your way over to the Rock Church for sure. You will have the experience that it's incredible. That's for sure. But met Darren out there and just been a great brother to me. And in supporting my family and everything we've needed. So he's very close to my heart. And so we've started talking about being close to heart is the 76er fans right now, Darren. I figured I'd ask you this because, see, he's already chuckling. And, we were talking just a second ago, and you've been the coaching, you've been the dad, you've been a professional athlete, and you watched the final 4 minutes of the Boston-Philadelphia series the other day with the 76ers. And your MVP doesn't touch the rock. Now I'm going to say it again. Your MVP with the 76ers does not touch the rock. And we had the discussion of, was it the coach's fault, the player's fault, or Joel Embiid's fault that he didn't touch the rock in the final 4 minutes? I don't know if you had it. Did you have a chance to watch the game, or you probably heard it by now, I'm sure.
Yes, I saw a little bit of it. Is that whose fault is that? I mean, I think you got to – Joel Embiid has to take ownership. He knows he's the leader. He's the MVP, right? Not that he demands, but it's part him and it's part his team. So I'm going to say it's going both ways. I'm not going to put it on the coach because the coach may call certain things, but when those players are out there, man, they know, who, in a sense, as they say, who butters their bread. Right. And mm-hmm. It's been him all year long. And yeah, there's no excuse for that.
Yeah.
No excuse for that. Yep.
And that's what I said, Darren, too. And we've been debating it, because, I'm not much of a Doc Rivers fan, to be honest with you, but I'm not going to put it on him. If it was back in the day when Shaq was, playing ball with the Lakers or Orlando, whoever. He knew he was the best player on the court, and he was going to rip your jersey off if you don't get him the rock. I mean, that's the bottom. If you don't put the ball in his hands, and that's just the way it was. And, Joel Embiid throughout his career has just, for me, just been soft like that and just not much of a leader to me. But I can't say much about that personally because I haven't met him or spoken with him personally. But You watch what you see on the basketball court, and just incredible. So I'm going to put you on the spot for this, and we're going to change, shift gears to the NFL, guys. So who wins the NBA Finals? Is the Lakers and Denver in the West going at it? And then I think Boston's going to win tomorrow. I don't see how the 76ers come back from that. They're playing at Boston. So let's just say that it's a Boston versus either the Lakers or the Nuggets. Who would you run with?
Oh, man. I mean, you know, the Lakers look really good, man.
Yeah.
I mean, they're rested, right? Street Clothes is finally back on the court. So, he's back on the court. LeBron's doing his thing. You know, he's fresh. But that's a toss-up, man, because, man, Denver looks really good. They're really hungry, and they got all their pieces.
So, exactly.
And I think I'm going to go with Denver, man.
Good choice.
Me okay, too. This call good has choice. Ended.
Good call.
Purple and gold walking away. Randall has something to say over here. He's been dying to say something about the Boston Celtics. Yes, Randall.
Boston is hot. They're hot right now. And I think it's going to – I don't think the game between them and Miami is going to even go six games.
Wow.
Ooh.
I don't think
probably talk to Jimmy Butler about that.
Well, I mean, and I have respect for Miami, but I think they gave a lot of energy to this game against the Knicks, and I think it's going to show up the difference when they come. I think Boston is six. I'm not going to give up on the Lakers yet. I'm not going to give up if D'Angelo Russell plays like he played this series. I'm going to give Lakers a chance.
I mean, give up on the Lakers? Now, come on now. They're the hottest team in the playoffs.
But let's be realistic.
Playoffs.
Russell was the key. I mean, he shot the lights out.
No, for sure. That's sure.
And obviously they're starting to trust him more because he's starting to put up a lot of shots.
Yeah.
If you look, he put up a lot of shots. And I was waiting for LeBron to say, hey, man, over here. But it seemed like that as long as he's hot, I think that they're okay. Now, if he gets cold, especially against Denver, and I like Anthony Davis. Let me first say that. But I think you can't rely on Mr. Davis. You can't. I mean, when he went out this game, he was – I mean – the way the other radio station just really dogged him out, it's true. He's street clothes. And your guy just said it. He said street clothes. He called him street clothes. So I think it'll be a good series. I'm not going to pick Denver yet. I don't know. I'm still thinking about that. I'm still thinking about that.
Well, yeah. I mean, we could talk about it, later. Yeah. I think Boston, I think their coach is a bit in over his head. I think he's showing that through this series. He lost two games at home to the 76ers, who wins tomorrow? Coin toss. Bill Austin's the favorite, but
they play defense.
They play defense, but
and defense
usually the teams
still wins championships.
Yeah, but the teams that win championships are the teams that have the best coaches and the best players usually. I mean, the best coaches and the best players usually.
Who's the best coach? Who's the best coach left?
Who's the best coach ever?
No, that's left in the series. Who's the best coach left?
Spoelstra? Miami Heat?
Yeah.
Huh? Come on, man.
Yeah.
Look what he's done with the Heat, man. He's the most underrated coach.
Talent still wins the game. And I think Miami gave a lot of energy to beat the Knicks.
I might have to have you over to my sports lounge at my house and during one of these games or something. You know what I'm saying, D? So Darren, I was just taking notes and the other day, and I was kind of looking at you and the NFL. We're going to shift some gears to the NFL. Really, the rest of the show for you fans out there is going to be a lot of Titans talk. Schedule release was on the 11th, which was Thursday night. Mm-hmm. Which, boy, does the NFL just do things right a lot of the time? A lot of times there's some questionable things, but for the most part, the draft, I mean, a draft party with 300,000 people. And how many, does anybody remember how many in Nashville when we had the draft party here? I mean, I don't know.
I think they estimated over what, half a million?
Half a million. I mean,
yeah, over half a million.
You know, and then they do the schedule release party and just doing it right. But you were in the league for 8 seasons and played for 5 different teams. 2 of them I forgive you for, DC. I forgive you for the Broncos. And I absolutely forgive you for the Raiders towards the end there.
I'm a Raider fan, man. I'm with you. Send me a jersey.
Victor's a Raider fan. So, in fact, last week.
I'm going to tell you this. There are no fans like Raider fans.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, boy.
Thank you, sir.
Say that. I gotta say it. I'm sorry.
Well, which part of it? Is it the fighting in the stands? Is it the drunkenness? Is it the drugs? He says all of it.
All the above.
Just win, baby. Just win.
So you brought that up, in Victor and Darren, the final game that I went to for the San Diego Chargers was the Raiders. It was the Raiders at the Chargers. And so I get there. Okay, and I'm a nice guy. I am, Randall. Don't look at me that way. I'm a nice guy. I'm a loving guy for the most part, you know. Jen might say different sometimes, DC, but, you know, we get there, and the Raider fans have completely filled all the lanes to get to any parking space. Like, I could not, and I got there early. I got there about 2 hours early.
Really?
And these Raider fans, and they wouldn't move. They would not move, DC.
Yeah. Did you have one Charger gear?
I had Charger. Of course I do.
He was in trouble, guys.
That's my stadium, my house, DC.
He's in trouble.
Yeah, you're not getting in.
I couldn't believe it. And then Darren, guys, we're starting to walk in, and they all like to wear Halloween costumes. The fans do of the Raiders, you know, Halloween costumes all year round.
Fighting words.
And so we're walking into the stadium, just minding my own business, you know, and I turn around, I'm like, where's Jen? And Jen is taking pictures with Halloween costume wearing Raider fans. And I still have that picture today. So
yeah.
I'll never forget it. I'm scarred for life. But it seems like maybe your best time was when you were with the Chargers, Darren. Tell us about this. This is what I thought was interesting. You went to start your careers in college from the Bronx to Northern Arizona University. How did that come about?
You know, it was really like a hope and a prayer. I was in the Bronx, and I always had this dream to play. You know, play ball. I went to the University of Pittsburgh. I was going to be the next Tony Dorsett.
Okay.
And those plans didn't work out. You know, I realistically, man, I got a magazine one day, and I found 10 random schools and wrote them a letter. And Northern Arizona was the only ones to write me back. And
wow.
I was like, hey, what do I have to lose? I mean, I can go out there and see what happens, or I could go back to the Bronx and hang with the homies. And that wasn't. Oh, I took a chance, and it all worked out.
Did your own recruiting. your own recruiting back then.
Exactly. I'm like, hey, don't make excuses. Make it happen. So
I like
that's
that.
What I did.
I like that, yeah.
Yeah, that's impressive. I like that. And for any of you out there that are listening that have, you know, youth and that have aspirations of reaching that, dreams can be fulfilled, but you also, to finish the dreams and to incorporate the dreams in your life, you got to do something.
Yeah, you got
to
be invested.
You can't sit stagnant.
Yeah, you got to
be invested. You know, playing video games and doing whatever. You got to get up and move, and that's impressive. So what I want to do is we're going to take about a two-minute break. Darren, if you could stay with us just for one more short segment, and you get back to sleep out there on the West Coast. But we're going to come back and talk about your college career there at NAU, the Lumberjacks. And I actually coached a game there, and it was devastating. I'll tell you about that later. But then we're going to talk about how important the schedule was to you once it was released. And then after that, we'll go into just kind of what you're doing now, and we'll move on from there. But on the other side, guys, hey, this is the League Sports Talk Show, sponsored by Nashville Toyota North. We are family at Nashville Toyota North. Remember, I'm doing our license plate frame giveaway. Your favorite sports team, you come get a new or used car, and you get your favorite team's license plate frame. Boom! From the coach. We'll see you on the other side.
This is the League Sports Talk Show on 94.9 The Fan and The Fan app.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. We have a special guest with us this morning. That is Darren Carrington, 8-year veteran of the NFL, played for my San Diego Chargers. I still call them the San Diego Chargers. Nick, the producer, you have a question.
The producer.
I do have a question for Darren. So, Darren, obviously playing in the secondary in the NFL, you know, watching the game evolve over the years, what is your biggest takeaway so far from the big headlines in the NFL, especially with the Titans, you know, possibly wanting to trade Kevin Byard this past offseason, and just some other things of people saying the Titans defense is not as strong as it was last year? What are your thoughts on that?
Oh man, you know what? I can't really say. I know exactly, you know, what that is. I'm more or less stay in touch with the teams that that are, you know, here, you know, Chargers and Raiders and things of that nature. So I don't really know, you know, in regards to that. I know that teams are – it is a 100% offensive game now, mm-hmm. right? Nobody mm-hmm. wants to see a defensive battle. Nobody wants to see a 7-3 game, right? People, you know, they continue to change the rules, right, so that teams are scoring. I mean, if I had the choice right now, I'm 100%. I'm going to be a wide receiver.
Absolutely.
Right. Absolutely. That's right.
You know, absolutely. I mean, they're making it more and more difficult, you know, for defensive backs who are the best athletes on the field, but we won't talk about
that. Oh, okay. So, All right.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's the route. That's the route I go.
So the old adage isn't true that the reason that somebody becomes a DB is because they can't catch the football? Is that is not true?
Oh, that's a myth. That is a myth.
That's a myth.
That is a myth.
Hey, so speaking about offense, so it was not an offensive performance that I liked personally, and that was when you made it to the Super Bowl. That was a great year for me personally. That was the year my firstborn, Daniel, was born, 1994. Season, anniversary season for the NFL, and you got to go from the Bronx to NAU to the Super Bowl. Just share what was that experience like? I was in San Diego, season ticket holder. The place was absolute mayhem every day, every week. Everything was painted Chargers. But what was it like for you and your family, and just being able to get to the Super Bowl, which most people never even see?
Right, yeah. I mean, it was obviously a dream come true, but it was actually my second time. I actually went to the Super Bowl my rookie year.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So, it was a dream come true. It was different, you know, the second time, because at that time I was a starter. The first time I was primarily a special teamer, mm-hmm. You know, and a backup. But, yeah, it was, you know, just it was kind of that surreal moment. Man, like, this is really happening. Like you said, you know, one half of 1% make it to the NFL, and even a lot smaller percentage get to play in the Super Bowl, right, where you know the whole world is watching. But the crazy thing is that, man, once that game starts and that first kickoff happens, it becomes just a game.
Mm-hmm. Did it take the first hit, or was it just, hey, we kicked off, it's game time now, or is something that woke you up, or were you already awake, ready to go, and it didn't matter what happened next?
Oh yeah, you're ready to go. You know, it's all of the hype. It's really about the hype. Right? Mm-hmm. It's all the hype, and it's, you know. But once you get that first hit, it locks in. You're like, okay, man, this is a game, and you know, you've got to do what you've done for your whole life.
Wow, that's awesome, man. Well, congrats on everything you've done in the NFL. Congrats on the dad that you are and the family that you put together. I have one other question for you too. Actually, two. Your stats show you scored one touchdown. I'll bet you remember that. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it was – who was it? I think it was Dave Craig.
Oh, boy. Dave Craig. Oh, Seattle Seahawks.
In Kansas City. In the Kingdome.
Kingdome.
No! Wow.
In the Kingdome. Oh. In the Kingdome, yep.
On real AstroTurf.
Yeah.
On real horrible AstroTurf. Yeah. Not like the cushy stuff that they play on today.
Right, the pillows. Yes. So what was the play? Exactly. What happened on the was it a return? Because I know you're a return guy too, but what happened?
Yeah, no, it was, let me see. It was one of those passes where, you know, kind of, you know, scramble, try to throw across, throw across the field. This came up. You know, got it. You know, I think it was about a, I don't know, 40, 50. It's probably 20, but now that the years have gone by, it's like 50, 70 yards.
80 yards. 99 yards, set a record back then.
Yes, exactly. And then I do remember after scoring, I just lost my mind, and my touchdown dance lasted about 10 seconds. Scored all kind of stuff. You know, they say, hey, act like you've been there. I was like, I've never been there.
Good times, good memories. Absolutely. And then I got one more for you, and Sedge's
got
one
for you, Darren. What moment of both of the Super Bowls that you played in, what is that moment that you'll never forget about those two games?
Oh, wow. What moment? I don't... I don't think it's not a moment in the game. It's just the culmination of it all coming, you know, coming true, you know, being, you know, reflecting back when I was 8 years old in my mom's room, watching the Jets against the Minnesota Vikings, Monday Night Football, listening to Howard Cosell. I remember telling my mom, one day, Mom, you're going to see me on TV. Right. All of that just coming back, coming true, being able to have, you know, bring my mom and my family out to the game and just allowing them to be there and taking in that whole experience. I think that was, you know, that was that, you know, that moment of everything, you know, coming together, coming true.
It's great.
I love it, man, especially on Mother's Day, reflecting on that. Yes. So glad we had you on. Two more things. One is, who would win on one-on-one, you or your daughter? One-on-one, mano-a-mano.
Wow. Okay. So if we were playing one-on-one, and how much time do I have to get ready?
No, you just got to step on a court. I mean, maybe you're there for a practice that your daughter's with the Connecticut Sun and they've got a game in a day or two, and you're like, all right, it's one-on-one time. Who wins?
Okay, if the game next point win, I'm picking me.
That's smart. I like it. I like it. So obviously,
well, yeah, no, but not. Yeah, she, you know, she's not your, like, she's not your average young lady. When you look at her, she's beautiful and she's done up and her lashes are done and all kind of stuff. But, you know, she is ready to rock and roll. She gets on that court. So
absolutely.
I don't know.
All right, I'm gonna take her, just so you know. So yeah, sure.
I knew that already.
You knew that already.
I knew that.
So hey, tell us. I know you've been pastoring a long time now there at the Rock Church in San Diego. They got a bunch of locations there in Southern California. Mm-hmm. But share with what you're doing nowadays. Just give us a synopsis of what's going on. You've got a passion for some things. Let us know what's going on, and then we're gonna turn to the schedule here and let you go. But what you got going on these days, DC?
Yeah, so I've been a marriage and family pastor at the Rock Church for the last 15 years. So anything, you know, to do with marriage, you know, we do it. We have a marriage getaway every year. We one of the things that I think is really, really important is we provide for premarital, right? A lot of times couples, they just think that as long as we love each other, that's enough. And according to the unfortunate divorce rates, that's not enough, because you have people who, at one time, they loved each other and there was nothing that could go wrong. Mm-hmm. And because they don't have the tools, because they wasn't prepared, because they didn't have the right conversations, you know, they don't, when the rubber meets the road, you know, they don't know how to handle it. So I really, you know, love that and take pride in that, of making sure that couples are prepared, you know, for not just their wedding day, because they spend more time planning their wedding day than they do preparing for their marriage. Right? So, so we make sure that that's done. But then we also show couples is that, hey man, it really is fun, right? You've got to be intentional about having fun and continue to connect. So, you know, that's what I do there, you know, on a full-time basis. And then the one other thing that I do is I teach and show couples, teach them financial education, right? Two of the things that can interrupt the marriage faster than anything is, you know, lack of knowing how to communicate and then not knowing how money works and finances. And so I do both of those. And like I said, it's a thrill, it's a joy. We just celebrated, me and my wife, 30 years of marriage.
Ooh, congratulations. That's excellent. Well, when my wife was in and I were in need of some help with a blended family, you changed our lives completely. And, you know, now we're going on, I can't remember exactly. No, I'm kidding. We're about 12 years of marriage now together. And I'll let Jen know that you said, hey, and I think I've gotten better as a husband because of you. And obviously because of the Lord's work in my life. And, you know, many, many blessings to you, to your family. And you are a friend of this show. We'd love to have you on down the road. And obviously have your daughter on maybe towards maybe Father's Day or something like that. But we appreciate you, and blessings to you. And you take care. Okay, DC?
All right. Thanks, guys.
Take care.
All right.
Take care,
sir. Go Raiders.
Go Raiders. Yeah, right. So we're going to head over to the schedule release, guys, and we've got a little bit of time left. It's tough to pack it all into, 60 minutes, but we have to talk about this. I think what we'll do, guys, we'll cover this a couple weeks in a row, but I tell you, the NFL really knows how to put out a schedule and a three-hour show on all the networks and just the excitement of it. And then add to it this year, which I don't remember from prior years, these videos. Nick, you and I are talking about just these videos and views for the team's schedule release. And I guess that there was like 7.7 million views of the Titans. Where they went down and interviewed tourists downtown, that tried to guess the logos and what team they were getting ready to play. And
the Lightning McQueens.
The Lightning McQueens were my Chargers. So go check out that video. It's out there somewhere. I'm sure it's a lot of places. But they did a great job, the schedule release. Also, I don't want to fail to mention, hey, I don't know if many people know this, but this is the rookie weekend for the Titans.
Yeah.
So this is the rookie camp for the Titans this week. Levis is going to be out there chucking the ball around a little bit. So it's all rookies, about 52 rookies out there, and then the veterans come in on Monday. But I want to talk a little bit about their schedule. The schedule in general is completely intriguing to me. I actually went through every single week, all 18 weeks, and picked my favorite, what I thought was the great games. We probably don't have time to get into that today. But here's something that hit me, guys. I have a question for you. Knowing what you know now about the schedules, okay, knowing what you know about the AFC and about the NFC, okay, who would be a surprise team that you think is going to turn it around from what they were last year to this year? I picked my two teams for the AFC, my one for the AFC, my one for the NFC, but who do you think for the NFC, AFC is going to be that turnaround team based on now you know schedules, now you know who's playing who and when they're playing when? Who do you think in the NFC, Randall, would be your team that's going to kind of turn around based on what we've seen with their schedule?
The Atlanta Falcons.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
And the AFC, you're going to like this one, Coach.
Oh, boy.
Cleveland Browns.
Yep. You've said that before. Okay. Yep. There's a possibility. So what are you thinking, Victor? Who do you think NFC, AFC, based on now you've got the schedule out?
I'm with Randall with Cleveland. I like Cleveland.
Okay. Running with Cleveland. All right, in the AFC. Who in the NFC?
I think it's going to be New Orleans.
New Orleans, okay, yeah. I mean, Derek Carr.
Yeah.
Week one, Titans.
Yeah, week one. That's the first game on the September 10th is the Titans at the New Orleans Saints, so that should be a good one. That's their week one. I have the Titans actually winning that game. What you got, Sedge? Who do you think the turnaround team is going to be for the NFC, AFC?
You know I'm going with my Bears.
Okay.
Bears.
That's a good one.
They had the best. They're saying that they had the best 10-player draft in the league this year.
So, okay.
I like that pick.
I'm going with the Bears. And AFC, oh, man. I'm going to say, well, I mean, it's not going to be a big turnaround, but I'm still liking Buffalo.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, not necessarily a turnaround team, but a team that's a good team anyway. Mm-hmm. I like the Titans schedule. My pick is in the AFC. It's my Titans. It's the Titans. And I'm going to tell you why. I have the schedule in front of me, guys. And Titans fans, I know I'm not just saying this because I'm in Nashville. I studied every single team schedule. every division, okay? The division that they're in is not that strong, number one.
Correct.
Okay? So I've got them, their schedule starts out with them at New Orleans. I've got them winning at New Orleans. Barrett Dunaway, who's our finance director, him and I did our little what do you think the win-loss season ticket order to the Titans. So I did mine. Mine is they'll beat the Saints at the Saints. The home opener is against my Chargers. I've got to go with my Chargers in that one. Then they go to your Cleveland Browns, Randall. On the September 24th, week three, I've got a win for the Titans up in Cleveland. Then a big game here. It's going to be packed. It's going to be the Cincinnati Bengals here for the Titans October 1st. I've got them losing that game. The Titans losing that game. I've got them. Then they turn around October 8th. The Titans go to the Colts. And then they come back and play another AFC North team. They play the Ravens. The Ravens, and that is going to be in London. So there'll be, by the way, real quickly, quick. What are your thoughts on the international games? I know why they do it. I know why the NFL does it, but a lot of teams loses a home game, okay? And we've got just a couple minutes, but any thoughts on that?
Growing the game.
Growing the game.
Growing the game. I mean,
money. I just don't like it that home teams lose the home team. But anyway, let me run through this. So then they got the Ravens, and they got a bye week October 22nd, the 29th at the Falcons. They got the beating the Falcons. Then a good Thursday night game. They're going to be at Pittsburgh. I look forward to that game. That's going to be a good one. I've got them losing that game, but then I got them going down to Tampa Bay on week 10, beating Tampa Bay. I've got them then going to Jacksonville and losing to Jacksonville. I've got them beating the Panthers on November 26, week 12. I've got them beating the Colts. I've got them losing to the Dolphins. Then they play the Texans. I got
it's
a
the
W.
Monday night game.
Yep,
it's
Monday night. Yep, okay. Against the Dolphins. Seahawks, I've got them winning. Then they've got the Houston Texans. And then I think this will be for the AFC South Championship. They play the Jacksonville Jaguars.
They lose.
Here in Nashville, looking forward to that. I've got them going 10-7, and they are my AFC comeback player team, not player, team of the year. They will win the South. They will be a division winner, and you will get a home playoff game, Titans fans. My other team in the NFC is going to be the Los Angeles Rams. I see them coming back and them being a great team this year. I want to thank everybody here. Nick, the producer.
Yeah,
the we got Sedge. We got Victor. We got Randall, the Encyclopedia of Sports. This is the League Sports Talk Show. And we're going to get going. I'm already revved up for next Saturday morning, guys. Yeah. I see you out there. Thanks for listening. And come see me at Nashville Toyota North today. I'm the coach. I'm out. Love you guys. I see you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.